Matt, did you read the Nexodex description of Mulsimer? It's kind of scary.
Oh, really? Let's see. This despicable monster will scorch the land until he's acknowledged as the king of monsters? I really wouldn't be too worried about that.
Meh? Why not?
Oh, man, that guy's never doing anything. Listen, I got, like, this tiny 8-pound dog that I take for a walk every day. He stops to pee on that fire tyrant every time.
So, what do you call a Nexomon who tells jokes?
No.
A ponderful creature.
Hey, Kelly. Yes. I didn't play the first Nexomon game, but did you notice it didn't have many water types?
Really? I kind of thought it did, but I may not remember correctly.
Oh, no. You don't understand. It's very simple. They were saving all the water types for the sequel.
Oh, man. Hey, Ryan, do you know that one Nexomon, you know, how he became such a famous artist? Do you know how that happened?
I don't know. Was it something about its type?
It could have been part of it, but man, he definitely had a talent for drawing monster pieces.
Wah, 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 wah.
So no one said all games were gonna be this way. Backlog's a joke, a choke. Gamer cards at my head. It's like you always play 2 years behind. When you really need a boost to heart, to health, or even your mind. No, Cal will be there for you.
She'll say games that are so.
Matt will be there for you.
When you're feeling that you're stuck,
we'll be there for you.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Coco to my Atlas, Mr. Matt Mason.
Oh my God, if I was Atlas and not Coco, I might have just hit stop on this podcast. Not that he was bad, but I mean, Coco, Ryan, wait till you get there. Coco's just like, you don't know what you've missed yet.
Yeah. I don't. I really don't.
You don't? You literally don't.
Also joining us, that voice you hear that doesn't know Coco, but does know Atlas, Ryan Costa.
Hi, I can't believe it's not Pokemon still.
And also joining us, my sister from another podcast, Anna Marie Privateer.
It's Pokemon Crystal, just one calorie.
And we are talking about the Nexomon series. Nexomon, for sake of clarity, we're going to call that one original, and then Nexomon Extinction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was today years old when I found out that apparently they're working on 3.
Yay! It got announced not long after I played Extinction, so it's been in production for a little bit at least, I believe.
Yeah, there's a Steam page with some key art, and Ryan, didn't you say that you suspect that it's going to have some stuff during the Summer Game Fest?
Based on when I first heard about it, enough time has passed that it wouldn't surprise me anyway.
It's tricky because you can only be in one NexFest for any 12-month period.
Mm.
So if they're planning on having like a Q4 2024 release, they'd be better off being in the winter NexFest. So whether it's in the summer NexFest and we get a demo out in June is going to be predicated on whether they're releasing later this year, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Well, we can be excited for that, and in the meantime, reminisce about the original game and its sequel. Kind of some interesting timelines there. I'll get into that when we get into the main event. But yeah, Monster Menagerie May continues. We did a Pokemon sort of, and now we're doing a Pokemon clone. We did Arceus last time, Anna.
I was gonna say that's more than sort of.
that their weird side experiment that actually ended up being better than the game that they released that year.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we all agreed on that last time, yes.
And I'm a Scarlet and Violet stan. I have defended those, but I liked Arceus better. It was more finished.
One of those games was good. One of those games was freaking amazing, and the freaking amazing game was Arceus. But we shouldn't get too off of topic.
No. Well, why don't we take a brief musical interlude, and then we'll come back. We'll just dive right in. RPG Backtrack, where we are talking Nexomon Original and Extinction. The original Nexomon was released on March 1st, 2017 on mobile devices, and then came out in 2020 on Steam, specifically in July. And then the timeline's interesting because Extinction then came out on Steam and consoles at the same time. And then they released the original Nexomon on consoles a year later. And then
and 2 weeks later, yeah.
Yep.
Put Extinction on mobile. So
started on mobile. The circle of life.
Started on mobile, ended on mobile. Had no idea this was a mobile game until Matt told me.
And yeah, this release schedule just looks like the figure eight. You know?
Yeah.
no timeline. It's a infinite loop.
Developed by Vivo Interactive from British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, Vancouver has a huge development community.
Huh, that's interesting. I couldn't find much information about the developer or the development behind these games other than the name of the developer. So yeah, Nexomon. It's Pokemon, but with some improvements. There's been a glut of Pokemon clones that has come out, I want to say, since 2016, 2017. There was this, there's Temtem, we've got Cassette Beast, we've got Coromon.
Coromon, yep.
On Monster Crown.
Yeah, I feel like part of that rise of the indie game was we had all of these unique ideas that wouldn't make sense in a traditional development cycle. And then as sort of the tail end of that happening, it was all of a sudden, I like this style of game, but I think I can do it better than X. And that's where you get things like Stardew Valley and Nexomon and a lot of other stuff like that. And I'm here
Which
for
is good.
It.
Yeah, yep. No, I like Pokemon. I love Pokemon. But you know what? I think Dragon Quest Monsters does it better with the breeding. So I've for 20 some years, I've been down for where's the next monster collecting thing.
I love Pokemon, but I would admit that I haven't really been happy with a lot of the newer Pokemon designs since the DS. I just feel like they've really been kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, and I wish that they would do more of the regional designs because I find that infinitely more interesting. Mm-hmm. So you get these clones. Well, these games inspired by Pokemon. And my favorite thing about Pokemon games is the catching. So it's basically like I've got an entire roster of 400 new Pokemon to catch.
Well, and we should definitely talk about shiny hunting in Nexomon Extinction.
Yeah, because I didn't even get into that. So
Ryan, do they have shiny in the original one?
Not that I ever saw or heard or researched. Doesn't mean that I looked hard for it, though. I never once saw one, and I collected all 310 of them.
Oh, so you finished the Nexodex. How long did that take you?
That was about 40 hours, give or take. I got very lucky at the beginning, started finding some of the mega rares and specials, and that was something I appreciated about the game, was they straight up say underneath the name of it how rare it is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they're all out there. Like, it's not like the starters you can't get elsewhere.
There are some starters in Extinction that literally show up in that first teeny tiny cave where it teaches you how to catch Nexomon.
Mm-hmm. Original did the same thing because I was trying to find the fox starter and was reading that, yeah, picking that one is useless because it's literally in the same screen that you start the game in.
I luckily picked the starter that you don't find for a little while, and that starter may have been the only one I never saw because since I already had it, I didn't have to search for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the only thing I never actually fought one-on-one was my starter.
Gee, you'll never guess which starter I picked.
It's a mystery to everybody.
It was the feline one.
Yeah.
Always the feline. The electric cheetah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
So I'm the odd Velocity, I'm the odd one out.
Something like that.
I haven't played the original Nexomon. I have only played Extinction.
See, it's funny. I mean, I played them in reverse because I didn't know that there was an original game until Matt told me. And since I knew this backtrack was coming up, I played the original one recently as a month ago. And I was reluctant to play the original one because Extinction was just so off the wall. You know, was very not taking itself seriously, even though it did have a serious plot of Omicron is trying to resurrect to destroy the world, more or less. But I was actually genuinely surprised with how charming the original game was.
I want to say, like, the second half of it, I think they got going. Like, Atlas is a good companion. I'm trying to think what else. I think Atlas was a good companion. And towards the end, he gets jokey. And I think they saw that. And, you know, maybe that's why they made Coco. Coco was just, you know, balls to the wall from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, breaking that fourth wall immediately.
Yeah, I couldn't get over how self-aware that second game was with some of the jokes.
Absolutely.
There was only one fourth wall breaking joke that I can easily remember from the original, and that was every time you're given something, you spin around and do the da-da-da-da type thing. And everyone's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, they do that in Extinction, too.
I was going to say, I think they do that exact joke again. That's familiar. So, oh, yeah, like Coco in the second game, your companion, he talks about, like, why you have to have six monsters only and some other stuff.
This is a side quest. We'll forget about it anyway.
Yep.
I screenshotted so many of his little quips.
Oh my gosh, I ended up having to go out and clean up my Switch after I played Extinction because I think I took like 200 screenshots.
I wouldn't doubt it for that one.
It's funny you say that because I booted up my save file because I wanted to see what my final team was, and I was trying to take screenshots of the final team, and it was like, your screenshot folder is full. So I spent my evening before the show trying to delete screenshots where I accidentally hit the button like I tend to do. And funnily enough, off topic, most of my screenshots are from Tails games. The chess jokes.
Oh, from Trails games? Oh, Trails.
Trails. Sorry, did I say Tails? I meant
you
Trails.
You said Tails.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard Tails and immediately tuned up.
I meant Trails. I saved pretty much every chess joke from that game. And I was like, I need to transfer these to my external drive at some point. But I'm lucky I took screenshots of Extinction and some of Coco's quips.
It's so good.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
The game starts out with, I wish for a completely normal and uneventful adventure. Ha ha ha.
So, I threw one in the review. I think the first picture of my review was Coco complaining, like, can you imagine paying a writer and getting this plot in return?
I loved that line.
But I thought the plot was okay. So, you know, might have been the delivery of what was happening at the time. But, I even wrote in there, I'm like, actually, the plot was okay.
Yeah. Getting into the original plot first, basically you have the Nexo Lord and his underlings, and they're trying to resurrect the, I guess one of the worst Nexomon there ever was Omicron, who controlled all the other Nexomon and tried to destroy the world.
Phenomenal cosmic power.
Yeah,
I believe it's space.
Yep. I mean, there really wasn't a lot to that plot other than you're taking out Omicron's children who are that Nexomon in human form. Go ahead.
I like that your main character for almost the entirety of the game is fish out of the water. Like, it's just, since I had nothing to, I hadn't seen anything Nexomon before, I felt like it was a one-to-one to what, like, okay, what are you going to do next? And then suddenly one of the children's going to show up and it's like the size of the screen somehow. And I'm like, okay, wasn't expecting that today.
Yeah, and your parents are trying to build some core to help with this, and that's how the game starts out. And you run into the next LR and he's like, leave me alone, kid. And then you swipe a Nexo ball from them, then that's how you pick your starter. And then that's pretty much how the game starts out. And you're going around to different areas, taking out different Nexo bosses. And then, yeah, you fight the final boss, save the world. It's a pretty bare bones plot, but what's interesting is how that plot plays into the next game. I don't know if you want to mute your headphones.
I'm fine with overhearing it. I'm just going to be it's going to be interesting, since I hadn't played Extinction, still defending how Nexomon's plot is deeper than you think it is, because I found it to be a really good story.
Oh, I found it to be a better story than every Pokemon, well, the two most recent Pokemon games. Because I forgot, I actually enjoyed Sun and Moon's story, but X and Y, I thought, had a very bland story. Sword and Shield was very bland, and Scarlet and Violet was almost non-existent until the end. And, you know, just having an original story that's basically people trying to destroy the world with a giant monster kind of harkened back to the Ruby and Sapphire days of Pokemon, which is my favorite generation. And sometimes I just like a good Saturday morning villain plot.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that, hey, you know what, this is all happening around me while I just so happen to be, like, trying to become the best there ever was and beat all these gyms. Like, you know, that's always, like, the main plot of a Pokemon game is really a subplot a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Like, the real plot is you're trying to become the Pokemon champion. But, dang it, all this other stuff's happening. Let me deal with that while I'm on my way to this.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah, Sword and Shield was particularly bad about that. But I feel like Scarlet and Violet definitely sort of... It was weird. It was cool to have all of those different paths, but at the same time, nothing felt primary or secondary, and that was good and bad. I feel like Nexomon did a much better job. Extinction, because that's the one that I played, did a much better job of, you are doing these things to save the world. That is the plot. You're just going to have to roll with it.
Yep, they went full just JRPG plot, and that's why you were doing this. You were getting monsters to get stronger, to save this, to beat this Nexo Lord or whatever. Like, that was your main idea. And, you know, being someone who's played a million JRPGs, cool, I'm down for that. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be playing JRPGs. So I did like the singular focus instead of, like, you know, this is what's happening around me.
Yeah, I mean, I love modern JRPGs, but boy, they really try to win a medal for complications and having all this political intrigue and stuff. And it's like, no, sometimes I just want to go save the world, guys. We don't
need
this.
What'd you say? You like the Saturday morning cartoon?
Yeah, we don't need this complicated plot of this nation did this and that nation did that.
I'd argue the opposite of that, actually. Because Final Fantasy Tactics being my favorite game, Final Fantasy IV, there's all these complicated ways Cecil works. And then these days, it's, why are you giving me no information on 300 of your cast?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I liked about Nexomon, is each character, even though it was a almost joking niche for all of them, they all did something and usually came back into the plot in a way that I just don't remember ever seeing in a Pokemon. It was like, once you beat a gym leader, you never hear from him again.
Yes, fully realized characters that continue to remain relevant is, like, I feel novel to JRPGs in general, and Extinction did that really well.
And then you get into Extinction's plot twist. So you start out with basically the Dexamon Tyrants, which are the kids of Omicron from the original game, are trying to destroy the world. And the Tamer character is trying to contain them with a Tyrant egg that you've had since birth. Well, the big twist is that the Tyrant egg was just a red herring, and you're actually a descendant of Omicron.
Are we the bad guys, Dot Jeff?
Yeah. So you're the daughter or the son and or daughter of Dina from the first game, who was the what were they called? Nexo Lords? Yeah, one of the Nexo Lords that betrayed the rest of the siblings and was trying to stop Omicron's resurrection. And yeah, you're taking out the rest of the tyrants and absorbing their power. And unfortunately, it's been a while. I do not remember the ending.
You win.
Ironically, half of that is something I thought was going to happen in the original. As at the very beginning of Nexomon, you are shown a person fighting Omicron on a mountaintop. And I was going to say, like, afterwards, I'm like, oh, we're just going to end up being Omicron, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the way that Extinction starts, right? You're having a nightmare and you're fighting a giant Nexomon, yes. And then plot twist, it's you.
So that doesn't actually happen in Nexomon, but I do like my random thought happens to be the beginning of the next game.
Yeah. These
plots definitely twist together. I mean, much like the release schedule, there's a lot going back and forth here, because I played them out of order. And Cal,
so did
you too. And just like I was playing the first one, I'm like, wait a minute, didn't this happen already? Like, I played this, but I didn't. But this is the plot. There's tyrants, and there's the big one, and Omicron, and so yeah, they're. If I played them back to back, original, then I'd see the clearer. But yeah, the timelines are different. It's like Battlestar Galactica. You know, this has all happened. It's going to happen again.
They're wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Now I'm just trying to picture a Saturday morning version of Battlestar Galactica, and went next month's course.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, especially the post game of Nexomon.
Yeah, they're so. You know what? I do feel like I missed out on a lot of stuff playing both of these games right at console release, because I'll get into all the stuff with the Extinction, because I played it like immediately upon release, and holy cow, there was. I've got a couple windows open right now with like updates that happened, and I'm like, oh my god, like I can't imagine that game without this, and yet I played 10 hours with that.
See,
but there's a lot to these games.
I had got it physically, so I imagine that most of those updates had been implemented and or were day one patches when I booted up the game.
They all. I want to say within a month of release. Back in, what are we talking here? September 2020. Yeah, because it came out on consoles August 28th. I had it by like September 1st. And yeah. I remember having to put it down. I'm like, this is too hard. It's way too hard. Like, why is this? And they nerfed it. They nerfed it a lot and added a lot of stuff to it.
I'm glad that they did, because I'm currently playing through Temtem, and Temtem has kind of build itself as Pokemon, but like you remember it back in the day where it's hard.
So unappealing to me.
Yeah, and they're not kidding around, because yeah, the difficulty is there, but it's difficulty in the way that's kind of annoying, in that you don't have an experience share, so it's all monsters that have to participate in battle before they get experience. And
so trainer. It's tedium disguised as difficulty.
Yeah.
Correct.
Versus the Nexomon, where the experience share is built in and based off of the level difference. Instead, oh god.
It wasn't built in the second one.
Wasn't in the first one either. At the beginning, you get experience share.
Oh,
about
right.
A third of the way through, and then experience multiplier, which gives everyone equal experiences just before the final boss, credits roll the first time.
Okay, so just as it's about to get on your nerves, they give it to you.
Yeah, basically.
That's good. because I don't know about you guys. I like experience share. I like being able to at least get a monster up to a decent level before I could start using them in battle.
Same.
Without having to do the swap out. It just saves a lot of time and grief.
That is something I do not miss from old Pokemon games.
Same.
I put my weakest guy in and move him out on the first turn and put in the good one so he always gets half the experience. I did that a million times. I don't ever need to do it again. Sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
When people make fun of me for playing Fire Emblem on casual Phoenix, and it's like, I played the old games. They were hard. I finished them. Now I don't feel the need to play it on hard anymore.
Got nothing to prove.
Yeah, I would agree with those types of sentiments. I was just, when you were saying how older Pokemon was hard, I'm like, I was 10 when it came out, and Blue was easy. I was also the kid at that time, though, where everyone else that played it was like their first RPG, and they would come to me to ask for help, and I would look, and they have a level 73 Charmander and a level 12 something else. I'm like, no wonder you keep losing. You have nothing else. So I knew team composition even with back then, but the big difference I liked and saw in Nexomon is even without a EXP share, no matter what level you were, you two, three fights before you gain a level. So it never took longer than 10 minutes to be like 10, 15 levels higher than anything I was fighting in the wild.
Yeah, that's true. The catch-up mechanics and extinction are good like that as well.
And technically, the quote-unquote random fights aren't random because when you're walking through the grass, you have to walk through the grass that shakes in order to initiate a fight.
Yep.
That I appreciate that. And then later on, you can get an item to turn that stuff off anyway, because it's not like that in caves, and caves were a bit of a slog to get through, I found.
Yeah, they can be, especially when you're trying to hunt for a particular Nexomon. It's just very frustrating dealing with caves sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The caves are where I pieced out of Nexomon Extinction until the updates came. I remember watching the Steam page, and I was like, yes, I went all that. And then it was like a week or two before it then came to Switch.
I will say one of the things that I really liked about Extinction is instead of each individual move having PP, you had a broader pool of ST for the Nexomon itself.
Mm-hmm.
And functionally, those things both behaved in the same way, because the ST system, if you were using much more powerful moves, like sort of like how Hydro Pump only has 5 PP, you could only use those extremely powerful moves a small number of times before you'd have to charge your ST. But it also let you sort of intermingle heavy hitting moves with lighter hitting moves without having to it felt more satisfying to manage your ST than it did to shove a PP potion down your Pokemon's throat every 5 moves.
Because doesn't it reset after every battle?
And it's fairly, it's not difficult to recharge it during a battle. You'd have to make a conscious effort to do so, but
you take the turn to rest, right?
Yeah.
Or swap out and use another Nexomon for a little bit.
And typically, I never really, like, there were once or twice I would run out of stamina. And it was only during moments when I was, like, hunting for something specific, but rather than running away, it's just easier to click enter rather than hit the button 7 times to run.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm just going to kill it. But if it's like level 3s you're fighting, I'd run out of ST because I've killed 12 of them now by using Slash. Other than that, like, even if you're in a trainer battle and you end up wiping out all 6 of them with one person, you're going to gain a level at the end of it. And every time you gain a level, the ST replenishes.
Mm-hmm.
At least the Nexomon.
I believe Extinction was like that too, because I can't stress this enough how hard it was at the beginning. Like, I would do a trainer battle and then I'd have to go back to like a Nexo Center or whatever they were to heal. Like, I couldn't survive more than one, or I'd go do like 6 fights in the wild and each one would drain the hit points of my character all the way. Like, I couldn't get through more than 6 fights before having to go heal everybody way back up. The original played a lot like Pokemon. Like, I felt like there was a lot, and I was looking up differences and everything today. I'm like, you know what, this is it, this is what I couldn't put my finger on. And then when I was writing the review, but I could do what I did in Pokemon a lot more. I could have one Nexomon with three or four different moves that were all, you know, just because they were an air Pokemon or a rock or whatever. Nexomon, I felt like you were in Extinction, you got a lot of rock moves. In the original, you got a lot of different moves. And you could type match a lot better. I'd get in a battle, I'm like, oh, I need to use this type. And I mean, maybe not one hit, one shot hitting them all the time because of the different ST. I'd usually try to use the lower ST, especially like you were saying, when you're fighting a lot of lower ranked ones. I don't need to blast these guys away. I can use my weaker moves on them, especially if I got the type differential going on. But I had a lot more type differential options in the original. And there was only, seven types in the original?
Yep.
Six and then the normal.
Yes.
Whereas, when you have six types, each one is weak to two types, has no difference for two types or the normal, and then they're always strong against two types. So if you put four types on a Nexomon, you're all but guaranteed to have an attack that is stronger than somebody that you're fighting, or that's strong against them.
Unless you're against one of the normal types, but then you have a lot of ways of just use your strongest attack, you'll probably be fine.
Exactly. But I felt like I got in and out of battles faster in the original, whereas it was more of a slog in Extinction. But it got better as that game evolved. That's one of the few games that I actually played through all the patches and saw it evolve, and it got way better.
Well, and on top of that, in Pokemon, if you're fighting something that's resistant, it does half damage. And if you're fighting something that's weak, it's double damage. In Nexomon Extinction, and it, I don't know if it's the same for the OG Nexomon, the reduction is to 0.75 and the increased damage is 135. So the strength and weaknesses matter, but not to the same extreme degree that it does in Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. And in the original, it is the half and 1.5 like in Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a little different in Extinction.
There's eight types plus the normal. So, you know, even if you've got four, you're not really guaranteed to have, you got a 50-50 shot of having something that might be strong.
Now, when did Pokemon Arceus come out? Was that 2022?
Correct.
Okay. So Arceus was the first Pokemon game that I remember being able to hot swap abilities on the fly without having to go to a move relearner. And playing this before playing Pokemon Arceus, I thought, oh my god, being able to swap out your moves makes such a difference. Why doesn't Pokemon let me do this?
Yeah, being able to just rejigger things in the menu between combat was so nice.
Because for the longest time, they made it their goal to just make swapping out moves as difficult as humanly possible. And then in Sword and Shield, they kind of walked that back a little bit, and having the move learner be right there in the Pokemon Center, which was nice. You know, you don't have to go find heart scales to remember your moves or find a move deleter to delete the useless HMs. And then the hot swap in this game, I was like, oh god, this is so nice. I could experiment with whatever moveset I want.
Yeah, that was punished. The thing that made me feel so good, is I got to experiment with all sorts of different movesets.
And then they did that in Legends Arceus like a year later, and it's like, okay, they're starting to listen to some of these indie games, and it's great.
Yeah, that was definitely a benefit of these games.
There is one aspect that I will say Pokemon did better, involving using any Nexomon you want type thing. And that's in Pokemon, I always got the feeling that if you get anyone high enough level, it will become useful, or you can use TMs, add things. But in Nexomon, the rarity was also how good it was, at least in the original. Commons would always have lower stats than uncommons, which would have lower than rare. So it felt like it was forcing you to use the rarest. Now, I did just level up where it didn't matter, but some of the ones I was using wouldn't get the strongest abilities of the type. Like if I was using a rare water type, it might not get the strongest water abilities, while the more rare ones would get the best abilities no matter what level type thing. Like you still had to level them, but they would get the ability while something less rare wouldn't. And that frustrated me because some of the cooler designs were commons, uncommons, and rares. But I had to swap them out sometimes because they just weren't keeping up with everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's a fair, funny you mentioned that, because I've watched a couple videos today trying to get my brain back into these games because I played them 3 and 4 years ago, and trying to remember which ones the differences and reading my reviews and everything. And yeah, that was that exact point was brought up in one, that how some of the common ones looked so awesome, but stat differential was definitely a thing with the super rare and everything. I don't use the legendary ones in Pokemon just because they're not the ones who travel with me the whole time. Like, whoever I find along the way and level up, that's who I like. I spend time with you. And yeah, in Nexomon, I definitely had to boot some friends out for, yeah, you're not quite that good.
I will say, for both games, I've been, aside from the water type, which for some reason there aren't cat water types in any of these games. Gee, I wonder why. I'm able to use most of my team, the people, the monsters that I like, and not have much consequence. Oh. And then there's a pretty nice variety of cat Pokemon or cat Nexomon in both of these games.
I mean, you could min-max in Extinction if you wanted to, but you were certainly not obligated to. And I think that freedom helps.
No, and to me, any monster collecting game, it is paramount that you're able to use whichever monsters you choose. That there's no optimal team unless you're doing competitive, which I don't. Though that being said, I will admit some of the monster designs in these two games kind of make me chuckle with just how over-designed they are. As if you hand an alien a pencil and pad and be like, okay, design a Pokemon.
I like the mouse or the rat that had like the USB plug as a tail.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a good one,
I think.
Yeah, with a name like that, yeah.
And the name puns, some of them are okay and some of them just aren't quite there.
Some of them I felt like I had to look up.
You know, it's at some point you've got 1,000 Pokemon and however many Karmon and 400 Nexomon. Like, you run out of puns eventually.
Yeah. And I realize that character design is hard, and I'm by no means criticizing it. I'm by no means shitting on it. It's just, believe it or not, the only game Pokemon clone I've played so far that kind of nails that style that the original Red and Blue had was Pal World, and now nobody really cares.
Now you've opened the can of worms, Kelly.
And yeah, that one was so close that Nintendo had to come out and say something. Some of those designs looked pretty similar, just a tad. But I digress.
Yeah, these didn't look similar. They definitely went their own way with a lot of these.
Yeah.
Similar enough that I could still, when describing them, say it is like my starter was Dragonair, but less Saturday morning cartoon.
My starter was Lightning Cheetah.
My starter was on fire.
I definitely had favorites, but I can't remember who I picked. I should have looked at a list going back. I was just looking for favorites, which I'll talk about later in our round table.
Yeah, it's time to jump into the round table, isn't it?
And unless we have they're both very short games, so let's get into the catching mechanics real quick. So, because in the original Nexomon, it was very bare bones, weaken it, throw a ball at it. The only difference is you get a lot of Master Balls, which is kind of nice.
The golden, Nexo trap.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry, traps, not balls. We got to be legally distinct. And I appreciate that kind of simplicity. And then I completely forgot that the trapping and extinction is just crazy. That you have a chart with percentages and you can do different things. Like you can weaken, you can throw treats that increase it, the trap they all have you use.
Yep. There's a whole food mechanic that goes into that second game, and they all have favorite foods that will increase their percentage. And it's right there, too. It's like, hey, listen, you know, you got a 40% chance of getting this guy right now. So do you want to throw the trap? Do you want to? And I want to even say, because there's so many different traps. There's, you know, better traps. And then there's traps for typing. There's a traps for each type. I can't remember if they had increased ones for each type or whatever. But like as you went over the traps, as you were in your menu picking it, you could see that percentage change.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see like, oh, you know what? I got a 70% chance with just regular one. I don't need to bump that up to 85 and waste one of my special ones or something. I appreciate that. Because again, like I said, I love my Dragon Quest monsters, and you get a scouting percentage there too, but you don't know until you try what that scouting percentage is going to be. Then you see it and can adjust from that. Like Nexomon, it's right there. Extinction, you know it right before you throw that.
And in Pokemon, you obviously have different balls that you can use, but I swear it feels like they don't make a difference.
Yeah, it's very obscure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you don't know if you've hit bad luck or did that not really work anyway. Yeah.
Them adding a little bit of strategy to the catching in this game, where, you know, should I spend a bunch of money on food or should I just worry about, you know, status effects and weakening? I think it's neat. It adds so much more to the game.
I did like how Nexomon did it. They only have the regular trap and golden trap, but compared to Pokemon, or at least the Pokemon I played, where you couldn't really gain money except for beating trainers, you gain at least a little bit by fighting in the wild in Nexomon. Mm-hmm. So, because I ended up trying to catch and did catch everything. I always had so much money that I could buy elixirs like they were nothing. So I always had 50 Nexo traps, so I could just sit there, put it to sleep, and keep throwing it until it eventually gets caught.
Mm-hmm. And I was like you, Ryan. I had so many golden traps by the end of the game. It was like, okay, if I really wanted to, I could catch whatever I wanted. But I still feel like I need to save these. And talking about the rarity, that entire game, I only caught, and at least the original, I only caught one legendary out in the wild.
There's only one that's in the wild until you do post game stuff.
Oh, okay. So that wind owl thing.
Yeah, okay. That's the only one that's available at the beginning. When you beat the game, the credits roll. There's a netherworld that can be gone into, which has a whole bunch of new jokes, but they to reborn your Nexomon. Mm-hmm. So that's you have to have all the moves learned and over level 50, and I didn't want to use the same team that I beat the game with, so I happened to luckily have a team of six outside of that. Then you beat the game again at that point, and if while you're beating in the netherworld, you need 41 Nexo fragments that you find. And then after you beat the game the second time, they build a legendary radar. And every screen on the game can show up with a legendary, which okay. would be frustrating because the legendary radar would sometimes appear when you're in the, you know, the actual mart trying to buy items. And suddenly it's like, there's a legendary here. And like, there's nowhere to fight it. So, but you keep going back and forth between two maps. Suddenly you see it appear, and then there's only like two ruffling bushes. Well, you have two chances before the legendary radar says, nope, it's gone. And there was an equal chance of any of the Omnicron or any of the children to show up. And then there's a second set of legendaries you can get from beating Wardens, which had level 80 plus Nexomons in training matches. And there's like 85 of those matches total.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, yeah, in the actual wild at the beginning, there's only the one wind type that you can find.
Okay, and I ended up using that wind type for most of the game, just because it was one of the better wind types that I found. as far as catching legendaries, you know, I'm one of those weirdos that likes the legendaries like Raikou and Entei, where you have to track them down using your in-game maps and stuff. Mainly because, you know, it feels more like I'm hunting, and I just like that kind of, that fantasy. They're like, oh, it's over here. I need to ride on my bike, and I have a chance of meeting it. So it sounds like that legendary hunting, and that looks sounds pretty cool.
It could be found anywhere, and you could be on the same map, have a legendary show up more than once, and it doesn't mean you're going to find the same thing in there. So it's basically while you're walking around trying to collect stuff. I like doing both at the same time because the wardens that I mentioned, they're anywhere in the game. Like, you can walk into a house that you found a golden exo trap with the guy sitting there being like, why are you in my house? And in the corner, there's a warden. So you have to check every inch of the game pretty much to find these 85 wardens. And then once you, like, like the electrical one, let's say, there's 10 electrical wardens throughout the entire game. Once you defeat all 10 of them, that particular legendary that the warden is attached to appears in your box. You don't have to catch it.
Oh, cool.
And as a result, you're basically doing two sets of legendary hunting at the same time, because while you're moving around trying to find where they all are, the other radar can pop up saying, hey, there's a legendary in the grass here somewhere. Go look for it.
Cool. Now, which one of you brought up shinies?
Me.
Tell me about shinies in this game.
So the shiny mechanic is really cool. The way that it works is you have a set base percentage to find it, which is significantly better than Pokemon. I don't remember exactly what it is. I think it's 1 in 3,000. And then you get an additional point towards that 3,000 number for every Nexomon that you've seen and for every Nexomon that you capture. For every Nexomon that you capture, you actually get 2 points. So if you've both seen and capture a Nexomon, you get 3 points off of that 1 in 3,000. And I think if you have a full living dex, your shiny chance goes down to something like 1 in 1,200.
Oh, wow.
Which is so much better than Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there's ways to gain Pokemon system too, but the fact that...
Yeah, I love that it's baked into the more you finish your dex, the better your shiny chances. Like, I feel like marrying those two things together is such a smart way of handling shiny hunting.
Especially since there are crazies that try to do shiny living dex. So that probably makes it 100 times
easier. I ain't that crazy.
No, I ain't either.
It also changes based slightly on where you are in the game. So the 1 in 3,000 chance, which I don't remember 100% if that's a number, so don't yell at me, audience, if that isn't quite correct. The way that it works is something like there's a 1 in 5,000 chance when you start, there's a 1 in 4,000 chance midway through the game, and then once you finish the game, it drops down to that 1 in 3,000. And again, those numbers are probably wrong, please don't quote me on them, but that's the way the mechanic works, and I thought that was such a smart way of doing it. I have no interest in shiny hunting, so I didn't spend any time shiny hunting, but if I was going to be into shiny hunting, the way that is handled is so cool.
Yeah. It sounds like it really gets better as you go along.
Yes.
That actually is very interesting to hear, just because they had the prototype of that in Nexomon, actually. That one legendary that you can catch in the wild, it appears anywhere on the world, but the chance gets increased for the more that your dex is filled.
Cool.
So it starts the game off at like 0.0001, but the more you catch of rarer Nexomon, the more likely it'll appear.
Well, no wonder I found it
for a while.
No wonder I found it so early, because I was catching everything I could get my hands on.
Same here.
Because I had it for like a good 2/3 of the game, I want to say.
And considering how much time I ran around, you get a charm that helps you find rare, special, all the starters. I never saw more than one of them, so there might only be one in the game after you catch it.
Because that was the other thing. I was obsessed with trying to find the starters out in the wild, too. And that damn fox in original, just I honestly thought my game was bugged. It was so elusive. Because that's the one that you can find, like, at the very beginning of the game. And I think I was there at that first spot for, like, hours trying to catch that damn fox and never saw it.
Do you remember its name? Because I just looked it up, and I want to say even its name was taunting you.
Gosh, I cannot remember.
Vulazy.
Yeah, Vulazy. And it's like, why am I doing this? I don't even plan on using it, but I want it. Needless to say, guys, if you're a Pokemon fan, you're in for a treat if you play these games.
Yeah, I don't normally like monster collection games. I played Dragon Quest Monsters, but I didn't enjoy any of the Joker games, and that kind of put me off of monster collecting. But everyone was so gaga over Extinction when Matt was like, I'll just mail it to you. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what prompted me buying that. I don't usually go out and grab a game, especially like I'd never played this first one. I don't think I even heard of it until I saw that something Extinction was coming out, and I ordered it that didn't like pre-release through Walmart to get it delivered during the pandemic. I was like, why not? Like, this sounds fun. Something about it just drew my attention, and then yeah, mm-hmm. I fell in love with it. And like I said, it started out rough that first month, and I've been going through threads and stuff reading back about this, and I'm looking at updates. I'm like, my God, I remember playing before that happened. Like, I remember seeing these updates and wishing they'd come out, and it was so charming and had something just so compelling that I played through it. Like, I remember, and there's even an update that the developers were like, listen, if you've been playing through it to the point and gotten pretty far, you're going to suddenly notice that everything's going to be way easier. And I remember that moment, like, oh, man, I can just breeze through the next few hours at this point. Mm-hmm. When they nerfed a bunch and put a bunch of other options in. But, yeah, I kept with it. I loved it. And then, yeah, going back to play the original years later, I mean, like I said, it was a tiny step down from the second. But I think, I mean, how many games can you say that about pretty much everything?
That's what makes me so nervous to go back and try the original. Is like, I would 100% miss all the quality of life stuff, and I don't know how crazy it would drive me.
To be honest,
that percentage, Anna, there on the catching, that's just that whole thing's different.
To be honest, Anna, because I waited a couple of years between playthroughs, I forgot enough about Extinction that I didn't know what I was missing. Because I completely forgot about that whole catching percentage thing that Extinction had.
Well, maybe it's time for me to try the original then.
Yeah, and the original's easy. It's not, I mean, I've even put the word easy on there. It was a breeze. It was not, you know, it was their first attempt, and they weren't out to kill anybody. They were about to, you know, get fans. Like, hey, they were catching fans. We were catching Nexomon. They were catching fans.
It was a mobile game.
We were the Nexomon all along.
We were the Nexomon.
I mean, it was a mobile game. I imagine that it had to be easy to facilitate that play style, you know?
Or, you know, it had to be at least difficult enough to make you buy the golden exit traps, but...
Yep. Using in-game crystals.
Yes. But, hey, look, Ryan got trapped for 40 hours with this game and filled out the Nexodex, so...
And I, by the end, because you're reborn, at level 5. While doing that, just moving around, fighting all the wardens, I ended up at the game at level 131. And I could fight three... You fight Holy three crap. Level 70s and still gain a level to 132. Like, the game's just keeps giving you stuff, basically. Like, you want to have fun, just sit here and level, go ahead, do it.
And, by the way, you can get both of these games in a double pack. You'll play Switch tax, because the Switch version is 30, but the PS4 version's only, like, 20.
I'm sure these are lovely discounts. Quite often.
Yeah, I mean, as of this recording, Extinction is on sale for, I think, less than Original. Because Original is about $10, and Extinction, I think, is on sale for $8.
They're $25 together.
They go on sale all the time. So
they go down to $12.50 for both of them combined.
you can get these games for a song, and they have the same depth as a Pokemon game, and are a little bit easier in some ways, a little bit harder in others, but I think that they're both solid. If you're a huge Pokemon fan and want to play something in between releases, that you cannot go wrong with either of these games.
And I think we've said this too, like the writing in the first one, it's good. It's good. Yeah. It has a good story. And Ryan, you found a good amount of jokes, right?
I did. I even wrote like 5-6 of them down, some of them recurring that I at least chuckled once or twice.
And you'll chuckle 10 or 12, 20 times when you get to Extinction. They ratchet that up. I think they saw that those jokes worked and they played on that.
Yeah, comedy's hard, but they pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
And another aspect is if you've only seen one of the games, while looking up Nexomon to see, like, oh, do I have this one? Because once you reach 250 and you're trying to collect them all, you don't really know. I would type in on the Wikipedia page the name, and only like 10 or 15 of them say Nexomon 1 and Extinction, which means like the 310, there's 280 that are only in one of the games.
I noticed that going back. I was like, I expected to see old friends, and I did not. It was not a lot of these are super memorable, stick in my head, but I thought I would have remembered more, and I didn't, and you just confirmed why, because, yeah, they made them new.
And that's something about recent Pokemon games that's kind of got, I mean, I literally complained about this at the beginning of the show, that they're scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as designs. But then the newer Pokemon games have maybe only added 100 Pokemon to the roster, and they realize that they're getting too bloated. But that's my favorite thing about Pokemons is seeing all the new monsters, and I try to limit myself to 100% new monsters or new Pokemon in every team. So the fact that these games really tried with the unique designs was just awesome.
Yes.
Yes, I was gonna say, I think we all agree with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I'm sure we'll get into our favorites soon. So I won't talk about some of the designs too much.
Yeah, let's have a quick musical interlude, then we'll come back with the roundtable. Back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now getting into the roundtable, our personal thoughts, our favorite things, what we were doing in our life about the game. So I'm going to direct this question to Brian first, because I know that the rest of us have the exact same answer. Well, not the exact same answer, but very similar answers. So I'm curious, Ryan, what was your favorite moment from original Nexomon?
My favorite individual moment, I can't really say one specific. There were a couple running jokes that went throughout that I just loved how it kept building upon each other. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of games, possibly even in Extinction, there's a Power Ranger group that showing up and be like, we're going to defeat the Nexolord. And they just keep losing all the time. But my favorite character and running joke was the Bounty Hunter. Because there's a bounty hunter that you first meet off with. He's actually hired to chase you down. So he's like, haha, I found you. And then you beat him. He's like, well, you darn kid, rah, 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 and leaves. Then you run into him again, and he actually helps hire you a bit, being like, hey, you got to help me with this one. But then you defeat him again at the end. And then the last time you meet him, he's guarding a door. And you walk up, and he's like, no, not you again. No, it can't be you. I'm guarding a door. Stop it. Don't make me move. Don't get me fired again. And then you beat him, and he just simply goes, ... I hate you, and walks away. And I just love that.
Sorry, the Knuckles show has a bounty hunter character that, and I don't know why it's making me think of that those two characters are cut from the same cloth, even though those two things are completely divorced from each other, but that cracks me up. Now, the rest of us that played Extinction universally had Coco moments as our favorite moments.
I just love how Coco's sardonic and snarky sense of humor drives the game in both really serious and really funny ways. Like, nothing that he's saying is necessarily lighthearted. Like, sometimes his jokes got deep, but they're always really witty.
And a character like that could become annoying easily. The what I call the Frank Grimes, the self-aware character, but they utilized him in such an ingenious way that he never got irritating. I put my favorite moment as early in the game when you go into a shop for the first time and he sees that there's a dog there. And the dog goes, oh, one of those. And then there's a bunch of silence and Coco has that glaring portrait and says, I'll be outside, traitor. Just had me on the floor laughing my ass off.
It was just so many moments, and going back to my review, there were other moments too. Even with Coco, there was the self-aware, because the second one takes place in the future. I don't think we talked about it. It was very dystopian. Like, you'd be walking by and see like a car with trees growing out of it, because the tyrants had destroyed most of the world or whatever. But at one point there's like a guard or something and he's like, talk about the cities. And he's like, they're all gone. Our cities are no more because of, and then it's crossed out. It says lazy developers, tyrant, lazy developers. Then it says, oh yeah, the tyrants. Yeah. They wiped out everything we had. But I mean, those are the kind of lines that usually are given to Coco. Like, he's just got all of them. Like, why? Why are you entering people's homes? That's just messed up. Like, calling you out on the...
And the fortune teller that says, you've done this, you've done that, you're on a Nintendo Switch right now. And then Coco's like, wait, what was that last one? And then she moves on.
Just not acknowledged.
Yeah.
I typed in best Coco lines in X1 Extinction, and I've just clicked images, and I've got too many to quote.
Oh, I'm sure the subreddit is full of them. That was the most screenshots that I took, was of his lines and the jokes surrounding them.
Three of the top 10 are mine for my review.
Mm-hmm.
I have a darker joke that happened in the Netherworld that I just wanted to share, because a lot of it's lighthearted in that, and even this is a bit lighthearted. You're walking through, you meet up with a grass bulb like Nexomon called Mandras. And it's one of the first time any of them speak really like a regular one. They're like, can you help me find my four Mandras friends? And they're like, well, we don't have time for this, so we need to continue on. And then the peace-loving character says, no, we have to find them. They're looking for their family. So you go collect all of them, bring them back to the Mandras, and goes, thank you, you found my food. Eats them all and disappears. And then the peace lover starts crying in anguish. Why? No!
Of course, your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Exactly.
Oh, look at Coco. I think this is a side quest one. It's the least we can do for a character who is totally lazily recycled. There's something else about, like, there's reasons, like, people like you, that this gets a sequel or something. I genuinely wonder how much damage these jokes will cause if this game becomes popular. Oh, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah. I think Kel talking about filling her Switch with screenshots because of this game is says a lot.
I mean, I love that nowadays that you can do that. When something in a game seriously cracks you up, you can save it so that you can remember it for later.
There's a joke at the end of Nexomon where they at least announce or allude, they call it, like, Nexomon Extinction is the next game. And while that is said, Atlas, the side character from that, says, Extinction, how are we going to do the sequel?
Nice.
We'll speculate about that in a little bit, but first I've got to ask, so with 400 different unique Nexomon between the two games. Did any of us have a favorite?
Yes! So, Loom was my starter, and the Loom, Loomfer, and Loomeral line was, like, my favorite. And I think the thing that sort of you're gonna laugh about is because I always want to min-max my starter, so I didn't pick Loom because it was a fire kitty, and I didn't keep Loom because the evolutions are totally boss-looking. Nope, I kept Loom because Loom is the only starter that resists four types and is weak to only two.
Oh.
It's also a tanky type, so it has high defense and hit points, so I just let it sit there and soak.
You know what? This might have been my starter, actually. Looking back at this, I'm like, this was definitely in my party most of the time.
And I'm pretty sure I called it my super soaker to Kelly, and that cracked her up.
Yeah. See, now I can't remember if I picked Loom or the Yarn Kitty as my starter, because I ended up with both of them. But my favorite kitty in the game, because of course my favorite one, my favorite Nexomon is going to be a kitty cat, is the, and I'm going to butcher this name, Fel Blanco. It's a psychic type that's a plush cat with a mask, and it's so weird that I just had to love it, because the second evolution, the cat has no face, it's holding the mask, and it's creepy, and I love it.
That's great. I
can't remember if I put the picture in the show notes so that you guys can see. But
I see the show notes. I can actually look up how to spell this now. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to Google that one after you said the name.
Yeah, I can't even pronounce the name. And then I went to go paste it and accidentally closed the tab. But it's definitely a creepy kitty.
That is a creepy kitty.
But yeah, there was a wealth of good cat Nexomon that I was able to use, and a bunch of different types, too.
Oh, like the cat's staring at me again.
You'll be happy to, or Ryan, my soaker in Extinction was Carnigerous, the fire tiger.
Yep. That was one of the ones I had over level 50, so when I did the post game, I had Carnigerous as well as one of the ones I was using. So it was my favorite kitty anyway.
I guess I did not pick a kitty here. I was I had a dinosaur.
Trebly. My favorite is not a kitty, for the record.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, I'll do mine, then we'll get to yours too. I had it was Trebly, it was little guy, and then Tree Clay and Tresor. Treasure probably is what the pun is there for treasure. It was a mineral type dragon, and he was just a rock. I like the rock types. They were he could take a lot of damage. I remember that, and I think he was with me pretty much from the moment I could get him, because again, like, this game was hard for half my time with it, Extinction one, and he made it a little easier.
I hope in the third game that they kind of loosen up on the tri-evolutions a little bit and instead do dual Nexos, kind of like with Plessy and Minon.
Oh, no. I'm going to fight you on that. I love how many things had a tri-line evolution. That was like the best part of the game.
I was going to say pretty much everything does, right? Like,
yeah, more or less.
The vast majority, yeah. I don't know. I'm with Anna on that one. I like evolving. I want to get to that next one.
Don't take my mons away.
I like it when there's ones that pair up for a little bit of variety, but that's just the designer in me. I don't think there's anything wrong with this much tri-evolution.
No, Kelly, you're wrong.
Okay, I'm wrong.
I love winning an argument.
So what's your favorite, Ryan?
Well, there's in the Nexomon, there's a bird type that you get. It's an electric called Perchara, and as it continues to evolve and with its color scheme, I just keep thinking, don't worry, you'll get Batman one day, Penguin, because its color scheme is exactly like Penguin, and its final form is basically Zapdos if it had feathers. So you have this big majestic penguin looking bird with a scowl, and I'm like, you're gonna get Batman one day.
This isn't even my final form.
And what was that one's name again?
The final form is Voltos Ferre. So VOLTOSFERE.
Oh, so it's not Froppip, who had the little ice cube on his head.
Oh, that one is fun, though.
And you know, in Extinction, Ryan, my water type was the beaver. Just because I liked the idea of having a giant beaver in my team.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find another water type with a design I particularly liked.
That segues into, I have written down a joke for a favorite moment, but also would be one of my favorite Nexomon as well, is when you face off against the legendaries, they have like hundreds upon hundreds more health. So it's not just, you know, 200 health versus 200 health. It's like 200 health for yours versus like 3,200. And I found winning using like confusion and things like that. So I had Shermit, which is a hermit crab. And I referred to it as Shermit versus one of the final bosses. I was able to beat it and I went, ah, yes, another crab's treasure, the prequel.
But can you give him a gun?
No, but the fact that it uses clamps, the clamp is the ability, and it makes them bound. And I'm like, try clamping with crab clamps. It would probably do more than bind them.
Oh, I heard about that new our Souls game, that one of the accessibility options is just to give your crab a gun.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you win if you have a gun.
And you win, yep.
I thought that was awesome.
Sorry, my brain had a fart there. Are we excited for Nexomon 3? Is it going to be a day one purchase?
Yes.
Because I didn't realize that there was a 3 until I was looking it up and saw it in the wiki.
So I feel like I need to. Yes, I'm very excited. I feel like I need to wait though on that, because I feel like I've missed out on stuff by. Like, hearing Ryan say all the stuff in Nexomon, the original, I'm like, man, like, I feel like none of that was there when I played it, like, day one. I think we even got a code. I might have talked to Alex and got a code for that one for the second time around that next year when I was like, oh my god, it's coming out. Like, can we get a code for that? No. Because I ended up reviewing both of these. I actually went back and reviewed the second one when the first one came out on Switch. And I had easier access to it because, as we've talked about, the develop and release cycle. I could have played any of these games for years, but didn't until they came to Switch. But like maybe a month, maybe 2 months, maybe wait and see if the DLC is going to come and play it. But yes, definitely I'll be playing this. It'll be a day one purchase at least, given that benefit.
To be honest, I might wait until your review, Matt.
Watch, I'll just get a review code for it and play it before release. And yep, but that's how things go here. Once you've reviewed two Nexomon games, Alex just texts you the code for the next one. It's not really an ask. It's like, hey, you ready for the code? Yeah, I'll take it.
But that being said, I am looking forward to the game. Might be sad, though.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that, too.
I'm curious what the story is going to be like. If it's going to be like in a new universe, or if it takes place even after Extinction.
But there's... You're the grandkid of Omicron now.
Maybe they could really screw with you and have it be a prequel.
Maybe you're just Coco's kids.
So,
Oh, no.
There's a way.
There's a couple aspects from the little bit. We put out a news article back in June. And in that news article, it says it's going to feature a 3D open world and a new battle system. So I'm curious to see what those are going to look like.
Oh, yeah. You know, we didn't mention in the second game, there was button presses at the end of the Nexomon trap. You had to do a little something.
Yeah, I forgot about that, too.
It was a tiny little thing. I forgot about it, too. I saw it in a video I was watching
today. I feel like I forgot about it because it was helpful, but not mandatory. So for those of us who are uncoordinated, hello, hi, this is me. if you screwed it up, it didn't matter as much.
You know what? I think you're right, but I could never bring myself to screw it up. It was like, oh, man, I should just try not to do this for once, just for science, and no. Because it was. I think it was, like, super easy. Like, oh, there's a countdown. Press Y, A, Y, A. Okay, you got it.
You know, it could be very well one of those things, like with pressing A with Pokemon, that it does nothing, but it makes you feel good.
Yeah, it very well could. Oh, man, how many times did I hold down A when Pokeballs close shut? Like, hold down the A. It'll work. It'll do it better. It'll stay close.
It's something that I know makes no difference, and I still do it to this day.
I used to do left, right, based on the movement of the Pokeball.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, you're trying to break out. I'm not going to let you because I'm hitting the button.
And then when you get a critical catch, it feels really good. So my last question, what were you guys doing in your life when you was playing this game, if you remember?
I feel like I don't remember what was going on in my life, but I do remember that, like, it was really funny that Matt was just like, I'm going to send this to you. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to play it. And I 100% blasted through it. Like, I think I had at least one 8-plus-hour day on this, if not two or three. And then, I forgot to email. I forgot to mail it back to you for like a year.
Well, that was part of my memory. Like, I remember, like, I mean, not that I needed it back for really anything, but you're talking about the physical games, and we didn't have it to look at today when we were trying to go back through it and remember stuff. But yeah, I played Extinction. I got it. Like, I pre-ordered it. I've never seen this since. I don't know if it was like a COVID thing, but like, it was in stock at a Walmart, like in Connecticut, or it was going to be early, and they shipped it to my Florida location for me, and I had to go pick it up during COVID in a locker. Because this was like September 1st, 2020. You know, not hard lockdown, but it still wasn't the best of times. And yeah, I loved it. I played through it all September. Looking at this stuff that wasn't there, one of the big things I know in the second game, the other thing we didn't talk about is there are items all throughout the world. There's little chips, right? Or cores or whatever.
Yes. Extinction is so good in that.
The crystals. Yes.
All of the encouragement for exploration was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started the game, the crystals didn't respawn or didn't respawn for days or something like that. So I was like in the middle of the game. It was super difficult. The monsters around you rose levels based on where you were. So I could never get ahead of anything. The trainer battles would always, because the trainer battles, you can redo them, but their teams change and they evolve. Like, the trainers get better. You're not fighting the same trainer over and over again, or you are, but he's got a different team, or his team gets better. And like I said, about halfway through, I was like, man, I'm just grinding to a halt here. And I can't build, I can't do the crafting with these cores. I don't have enough crystals. And that was one of the things that they added to the game, like midway through, like, okay, we got to make the crystals respawn because people cannot get enough crystals to make the items that they need to help them to boost this, to boost that. There was thing they added synergy cores, which were like the experience share, but even better. It was more like experience copy because... if somebody got 1,000 experience, it wasn't just shared that 1,000 shared. The next guy could get 1,000, or depending on which level of synergy core you made, you might get a free 500. The first guy still gets his 1,000 for winning the battle, but like if you have a synergy core on somebody in their equipment slots, they would get 500 free just every battle.
Crafting cores was fun.
Yes, that was awesome. And yeah, that was something that, again, like, had I just waited a month or something, I would have probably had a lot more fun with it. But yeah, I went through halfway the game, like, not being able to get enough crystals to make the cores because the respawn rate was just abysmal. And going through to find them all again, everything in that area was getting more and more difficult. I'm like, I can't go back there. It hurts. But no, that was a great part of the game. And so yeah, I played that right away. And then, like I said, a year later, when the first game came to Switch, I think I talked to Alex, we got a code for it. Either that or I just bought it day one. And remembering how much fun I had with the first one, I was like, you know what? I never wrote a review for that because it was just a game I picked up on a whim. I was like, I should review these. So I was stupidly excited. I even mentioned it to Ryan today. I was like, did you notice the dates that I published the reviews? They were both published like within 10 seconds of each other on October 1st, 2021. I wrote them in a Google Doc side by side, and Anna still had my game. So I was like, oh, man, I got to really remember what happened in that game. because I don't have the game to play through it again. It's been a year. Send it back.
I think that's what finally motivated me to send it back to you, was you being cranky that you didn't have your game back to reference for the review.
Yep, and it was just, I mean, I didn't care, but then it was like, oh, I'm actually trying to write a review. Damn, it'd be nice if I had it. That's when you sent in the kids all the lovely Dragon Quest stuff, too.
Yes. Care it was a package. Lot of fun packing that box.
Yeah. It was shoved in there. That game was nestled between many slimes, softly packaged.
So many slimes.
But, yeah, that was, I played it during 2020 and 2021, like right as the Switch games came out. Could have played it, you know, how many years earlier, but
so they were fun. My only real memory with Extinction was, one, playing it at the same time as Anna, which was a weird coincidence, because I got that game for my birthday that year from my mother-in-law, of all people. She didn't know what she sent me. She always just goes to my Amazon wish list and just grabs something and sends it. And I thanked her for it. And it was just a pleasant surprise, like, oh, I've got a package. Oh, awesome. It's this Pokemon clone that I've had my eye on. And yeah, that was pretty awesome of her. So thank you, mother-in-law. But no, because I played the original more recently, that's what I played mostly on my trip to Denver that ended in disaster this year. I ended up finishing it like halfway through our trip, just kind of passed out or laid out in our hotel room at the end of the day. That's really all my memories are for both games. It was kind of funny playing it at the same time as Anna and passing Coco jokes back and forth.
Yes!
Always good stuff.
And all this talk of lockdowns and slimes just makes me think of the irony that I had slimy lungs from bronchitis and was extremely sick a month ago. And even during that, during the worst of it, I was doing nothing, but I was still wheezing and like propping myself up on an elbow going, I don't care how much I cough, I'm catching something tonight.
Yes! That's dedication.
Yes, it is.
It was just such a blast. I'm not sure if at the time it was just something I wanted. I haven't played a Pokemon in a long time, but it's a very charming monster collector.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you spent more time on the first than I spent on both of those combined. But fun times. Sometimes I wish when I saw credits, I didn't just stop playing. That's my brain. I'm like, I saw credits. Gosh darn it. I can fill up the decks.
Which is,
I could go to something new. If it had, you know what? I don't think there was a post game for Extinction, because Extinction was kind of new when it came to Switch. It hadn't been out for a while on Steam, I don't even think.
It's funny because I was Googling how to spell Omicron for the blurb because of the main bad guy, and it's like, oh, there's an Omicron variant of COVID that's relevant to what you just said, Brian.
Oh, that's true.
I forgot about that.
COVID was March. Bronchitis was April.
Okay. Just so we're clear.
You are a petri dish of one.
A little bit.
Well, I do believe that is a show, and that's a wrap for Monster Menagerie Bay. Next month, we've had this tradition for, this will be our third year for this tradition, MMO month. We'll be doing Wrath of the Lich King for WoW and Stormblood for Final Fantasy XIV. This is probably because Matt's going on vacation, am I right?
Yeah, MMO stands for Matt Mason Out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Third year, I finally nailed it, yes.
They're like, why are you doing the Ember-related month in June? Like, because that's when Matt's not going to be around, so we definitely need stuff that he doesn't give a shit about. And that's when I have Tam on all month to.
Oh, that's when
you
actually
do
Tam.
The Dragon Quest shows, right?
No,
those are usually July when I get back, and I've had a nice month to.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest Online comes out. Suddenly, there's a June free for Matt.
Listen, I struggled through Dragon Quest X in Japanese. I played 35 hours of that. That was enough. I beat the boss while staring at my phone with the live translation. So one time was enough. One version is all I could get through.
So yeah, it's been a fun Monster Menagerie May. Looked forward to Matt Mason out month. thank you, Anna, for joining us. I know it's kind of hard to do the schedule with you, but you made it, and we adjusted accordingly.
For listeners, I'm a pain in the ass to schedule around, but I'm worth it.
Yes, you are.
It was worth it having you here, yes.
Very much so.
And of course, thank you, Ryan, for your 100 hours into, or not, sorry, not 100 hours, 40 hours into the first game. Because even though I played it recently, I've got the memory of a goldfish. So
it was basically it was a lot of fun. It epitomized just one more, because once you get lucky and get the first mega rare, you're like, okay. And then without trying, you get the second one. Like, eventually you just keep collecting. And at that point, once you're able to level all six things at once, you just go to an area, you can get something from level 1 to level 60 and go through all of its evolutions within like 10-20 minutes.
Having that rarity indicator on the monster definitely kind of makes it a slot machine in a good way, because it's like, I gotta see if there's more rares in this area. So yeah, good times. Thank you, listeners, obviously, and of course thank you, Matt, who I could not do the show without.
Hey, you wrangle the cats, I just make it sound good afterwards.
Meow.
You do make it sound good.
Hey, we literally got paws here tonight.
Meow.
So we will see you in a pair of weeks for, I don't know which one we're going to start with first. I think we're starting with Stormblood first, because I swap them every year, but I might be wrong. No, we're starting with Lich King first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm way off on that. I was going to say Final Fantasy 13. Nope. Wow, I'm way.
Might have been the wrong tab.
Yeah, the linear. Wow. I almost said it, and I was like, wait a minute, that is not where we are. Yep. Yeah, Lich King and then Stormblood.
Yep. So look forward to that, listeners. We will see you in a pair of weeks. Have a good rest of your week. We'll chat at you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.